Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars for the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts. But we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Ridiculous History is a production of iHeartRadio.
Welcome back to the show, Ridiculous Historians. As always, thank you for tuning in. You can hear a little bit of a laugh in my voice because we're recording this intro after we did a saga on fudge and realized it had to be a two-parter. I'm Ben, and please listen to Fudge Part 1 if you don't want to be confused by Fudge Part 2.
It's true. You really need that chronology there. Well, you got to set the groundwork for this fudge exploration. I'm Noel, by the way. Here we go. These were considered illicit fudge parties.
Yeah, they would sneak into each other's rooms and sneak food into their rooms as well. Fudge wasn't the only thing there. It's just the one most closely associated with Vassar because of the invention of fudge, but they would fry oysters, like a single oyster over a hat pin, over the little, you know, the little lamp that you would use to illuminate your room or to heat things in chemistry class. And then they would hide from the teachers who were supervising them, and they would stay up past their strict 10 p.m. curfew. We have to remember, at this time, the students at Vassar and many other institutions were suffering from the very strict sort of Victorian ideals, which were so hypocritical, the Victorian morals. We've all heard of them. So they had to eat bland food. They had to go to bed at 10. But these are college kids. So they're saying, forget that. And it's strange because we know that this stuff became more and more and more popular, first in Vassar and then across the U.S. Going back to Hartridge, the recipe that she mentioned became the standard for what we call American-style fudge today. It got so popular that the Chicago Tribune name-checked Vassar and fudge in 1896. I'm not going to do a voice, but I am going to emphasize the parts of the quote that are italicized so you can really get the message home. They say, quote, Vassar girls not only indulge freely in sweets of any known variety, but they get up new recipes whenever their sated palates demand a change. Fudge may be eaten hot or cold, but it's never so truly delicious as when, at the witching hour of midnight, it's first removed from the gas jet or alcohol lamp and served on bits of cardboard or portions of a manicure set, bubbling hot, to a group of maidens in night attire.
That sounds scandalous. What a scene. What a bacchanalian scene.
How dare they?
Bubbling hot. Oh, on a manicure set. That is titillating. Yeah, but I mean, that's the thing, though. It really did start in the women's college circuit, and it started to spread. Other female college students would start making their own fudge and just really pumping the stuff out and creating different spins on it. And it began to become this kind of inside secret, you know, among the student body at various, women's universities and colleges. So the early recipes of it were considered to be a college dish. It would be, I don't know what that means exactly. I guess it means what it sounds like. In 1897, the New York Tribune started to take notice, and in a very similar quote to the scene that you recounted, Ben, and that other one, they said that the confection was best enjoyed, quote, when a dozen or more girls are congregated in a room, sitting on the sofa cushions spread out on the floor, in a mystic circle around an alcohol stove from which the odor of fudge rises like incense. It's like an opium den, man. You know,
yeah.
It's like,
okay, I've got a pitch. And, you know, Casey, I want you to weigh in on this one too. So what if we make a film that's like The Craft? No, wait, you know what? Forget it. It's a gritty reboot of The Craft, but it's kind of about a cult, but it's mainly about students at Vassar illicitly making fudge. We can use all our fudge puns. We can say fudge drunk, you know, fudge enthusiast, but we can still call it The Craft because it's the craft of fudge. I'm writing this down. Hang on.
Well, can't we just call it The Fudge?
Yeah, but I like the idea of fudge as a craft.
Yeah, it's definitely a craft for sure. Like we said, I mean, it takes some know-how and some kind of innovation here. They were really taking what they had available to them and making this stuff with these gas lamps and putting themselves in harm's way for the sweet, sweet taste of fudge. There was even a poem that came from the literary magazine for Vassar, The Vassarian, which I love, in 1893. What perches us upon a chair to stir a saucepan held in air, which tipping pours upon our hair, fudges.
Right. Fudges. It's interesting because it's used in a plural sense.
Yeah, I thought fudge was its own plural.
Yeah.
You know, like one piece of fudge, a batch of fudge.
Well, maybe they had
herd of fudge.
Different recipes, you know, maybe different dorms had their own, like, maybe some of them were making chocolate fudge, some of them were making maple fudge, etc. Anyway, I want to go back though, Casey, what do you think about a fudge-based grainy reboot of The Craft?
I'm just thinking about like how we bring the original cast back, because, you know, you've got to have the new generation in like the lead roles, but maybe like Neve Campbell's like a professor or something like that. I don't know.
There we go.
All right. Here we go. So fudge has been outlawed, kind of like dancing in Footloose, you know?
Okay.
And it's like a secret that only the old guard, AKA Firouza Balk and her coven, know, and they have to secretly pass it down to the new generation. And they gather sort of like through whispers and stuff in these like labs after hours where they teach them how to make fudge and potentially do light it as a feather, stiff as a plate of fudge.
Yeah. And they also, you know, they chant, but it's like the recipe for fudge as they're making it. And then there's like a course, there's an old book that has the secrets, you know, the different recipes, and then they get discovered, right? We could throw in.
And then they have to take on the patriarchy because it's clearly them who are trying to shut down this fudge making.
Rituals. They want to control it. They're like kidnapping students and forcing them to make fudge for
We can do a little bit of a Dune tie-in where he who controls the fudge controls the world.
The fudge must flow.
Indeed. The fudge must flow. Yes. Okay.
Only look, it can't, guys, because those crystals are too damn big.
I'm smelling a franchise here. I think this is bigger than one movie. Okay. You're welcome, producers, but I'm just going to pretend there's a law that because we came up with this on air, we have the rights to it. Anyhow, Firouza, please call us. Boy, do we have news for you. And, you know, speaking of fantastic segues, boy, do we have news for you is something that a lot of other colleges felt when they heard about Vassar's fudge fad. It's a fudge fad, and it became a college-wide fad. Vassar students were making, they typically had one recipe they kind of styled off of, chocolate, butter, and sugar, so technically a chocolate fudge, but other colleges were making versions of fudge that had marshmallows. And students at Smith College made fudge that used molasses. And as other newspapers were describing this fudge fad, which is weird to say, as they were describing this fudge fad, they were also reporting the other colleges that were getting into this. Remember, we also talked about, this reminds me of a much more well-adjusted version of the goldfish swallowing fad that swept all those colleges. Remember that?
I do. That was a weird one. I would say this one is much more wholesome and less nihilistic and cruel, let's say.
Agreed.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
This episode is brought to you by eBay Motors. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Noel, do you remember your favorite car?
Well, yeah. It was an Eddie Bauer edition Ford Explorer.
Oh, that's
and
cool.
I just remember it was my dad's. I was a hand-me-down car kind of kid. Dad would buy a new car. I'd get that car. And I just remember feeling so awesome being up above everybody, like I was in Mad Max or something, you know?
I had a lot of land yachts that I loved. I had Pontiac Bonnevilles.
Right.
Oh, I never had an El Camino. My dad had one. And that was a real interesting use of our collective time, keeping that thing running. But I think these cars all kind of speak to us because they were such a fundamental part of our lives. Do you remember when I had that Monte Carlo?
That's what I meant. I said El Camino and I meant Monte Carlo.
I miss it. So the Monte Carlo was tough. I had a series of Monte Carlos, and the last one, God bless it, I had to learn a lot about car maintenance just to keep that guy running.
Totally. But
it still was like a perfect fit. It's almost like finding your true love. You know, like when you recently got a car a few years back now.
Oh, man. And funny you should say that. That particular perfect fit was the Honda Fit, which I love dearly. But, Ben, it's getting a little long in the tooth. And while it's been incredibly reliable up to now, it's getting to that age where I might have to start looking for some parts here and there to keep it running.
Mm-hmm. And that's where eBay Motors comes in. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly.
Brake kits, LED headlights, roof racks, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it.
And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back.
Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash.
So keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com.
Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This episode of Ridiculous History is brought to you by Mint Mobile.
If we've learned anything in the process of doing this podcast, just living life, it's that there's always a catch.
So when we heard that for a limited time, all Mint Mobile wireless plans are $15 a month if you get a 3-month plan, we looked at each other and we thought, nah, what's the catch?
But here's the thing. In this case, there isn't one. Mint Mobile's secret sauce is that they sell wireless service online.
Yeah, they cut out that middleman cost of retail stores and they pass those sweet, sweet savings directly to you. We're not joking. We have tried out Mint Mobile ourselves and it's super convenient. And it actually, like, we tried to find a catch and there's not one.
So to get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/ridiculous.
That's mintmobile.com/ridiculous. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/ridiculous.
$45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan.
Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details. So as they were reporting this stuff, a triumvirate of colleges came to be acknowledged as like the fundamental fudge makers. And in a book in 1909 called Chocolate and Cocoa Recipes, there are three different fudge recipes. They're all named after those three colleges. But we made a promise in the beginning of today's episode that we were going to explore fudge as an act of resistance. What did we mean when we said that, Noel?
Well, we've kind of gotten into it a little bit already, just in that there was this very puritanical attitude towards food and the idea that women should not snack or should, you know, pretty sexist when you look at it now, though maybe coming from a place of goodness by this woman who was the president of the university at the time. But yeah, it's like, nah, man, we like our bonbons and we like our sweet and savory delights, hence the roasting of the oysters over the hat pins after that 10 p.m. curfew, which was also a little bit intense, you know, like no one shall be out of their dormitories past 10 p.m. Another dish that was very popular is something that I hadn't heard about until recently in the movie Phantom Thread, Welsh rarebit. It's rabbit, but it's like, it's almost like a, what is it, Ben? It's sort of like a pudding, like a savory.
It's like cheese toast.
That's right.
Times 10. It's like cheese toast times 10, and it has this great sauce go with it. I've made some. Once we're out of this quarantine situation, once we're done with what has essentially been one long bottle episode of our sitcom, then I would love to make you guys some Welsh rarebit. We're a family show, so I'll say I have a kick butt recipe. And Casey, yes, I know I still owe you that bulgogi. I have to cook it for you when you're there. You know what I mean?
I want to get in on that.
All right, yeah, let's do it.
I love a good bulgogi. But no, it's true. The Welsh, I'm fascinated by this. I'm looking at pictures of it now, and it does look, like you said, like cheese toast X100, because it's more of a fondue-type cheese that you pour over top of it, mixed with that savory sauce, and it's just looks like a delight. And yeah, the rarebit, it's hard to kind of trace the etymology. I mean, I know that it is sort of a corruption, man, that sounds really intense, of the word rabbit, rarebit, just like a way it would have been pronounced in Welsh. And so it's spelled that way, like rare bit, but it definitely is meant to be interpreted as rabbit. And there's other kinds like Dutch rarebit, buck rarebit. And Ben, you did a little research on this yourself. And while I don't think we've been able to quite chase down why it's called that exactly, you have some theories.
I have some completely unfounded theories, aka things that I think are hilarious, and I say we go ahead and present to you this unfounded speculation. Okay, so the term we know was Welsh rabbit in like the mid-1700s, so what if it was a term made by British people who were somehow trying to nag on or diss the Welsh? You know, what if they were like, well, I don't know. Are they implying like Welsh people can't catch rabbits or can't afford them? So that's why it's Welsh rabbit.
Like so dumb that they think rabbits are cheese or something like that. Like, I see where you're going with that, Ben. I think we should have a segment on the show called Wildly Unfounded Speculation or something like that. That's good. No, I'm with you there, Ben. But it's interesting because Casey was even looking it up while we were talking, and there really is no known etymology for why that is used. So I think wild speculation is about the best we've got right now.
And that is still better than absolute pseudoscience, which is what was used to attempt to combat the love of fudge at Vassar. It's strange because, you know, it was a form of mild rebellion, and these kids were being strictly controlled and cracked down on, and there was kind of a double standard for them because male students at colleges were getting into way more trouble, but health-wise, you know, as I think most of us know, the 19th century in the U.S. especially was just riddled with terrible ideas about what you should do for your health, you know, like yogurt, enemas, apologies to any teachers playing this in a classroom, just check out the Kellogg story, as well as the idea that you need to have bland diets. Mm-hmm. There was even a food writer, right? S.T. Rohrer, who is today known as America's first dietitian, he toured these colleges in 1905 And he said the scholastic standing of the students is held like it's more important than the practical side of their education, which this guy, by the way, considered learning how to be a wife and mother. So imagine this writer is going to this place and saying, you know, my problem with this college is that they're teaching kids college courses, basically. And then, and this is a female writer too. This is a woman, S.T. Rohrer. She also says that these girls like fudge too much.
And by the way, there was this kind of confederation, I guess, or consortium of all of these East Coast liberal arts women's colleges. And they were referred to collectively as the Seven Sisters. Vassar was one of them. You also had Mount Holyoke, Smith, Wesley, Bryn Mawr, Barnard, and Radcliffe, just to step back ever so quickly. But yeah, she had some really intense hot takes on what was going on there. She said the scholastic standing of the students was held in far greater importance than the more practical side of their education, that is learning how to be a wife and mother. She referred to the degradation of the health of female students and attributed it directly to fudge. She says, in a little while, she referring to a female student who was in poor health, in a little while, she is in the infirmary suffering from a bilious attack, because that was another one of those kind of like quackery kind of things, the idea of too much bile built up and the humors, which I almost think of as like, that's almost like Dark Ages type medicine, right? So a bilious attack, and she attributed this to dinners of fudge had overworked her liver. Improper eating with the addition of fudge had the capacity, according to Rohrer, to, quote, kill the weak and ruin the middling.
What? So, oh, man. So there's maybe our villain. One of our antagonists in our gritty reboot of The Craft, which is, of course, expanding to a multi-universe franchise. It's weird because people on the other side of the spectrum also didn't like fudge. So this writer, S.T. Rohrer, is saying fudge is preventing these kids from learning how to be wives and mothers and, you know, stick in the cookie cutter roles society had assigned for them. But other people were worried that fudge-fuddled minds might hinder the academic progress of their students. So administrators were saying, hey, these kids are not focusing on their studies. We're out making future astronomers, future chemists, future activists. And now they're all just turning into fudgy duddies or whatever they would say. They're fudge-fuddled. And one great thing about this is that the opinions of people like Rohrer did not seem to really matter. The students at Vassar and the alumni thought it was hilarious. They made so much fun of people who were anti-fudge, and they did it through satire. This is why you gotta love college publications, right? Like they had something where it would be like, can it be that the Vassar girl has fallen so low? In my day, we ate our good wholesome mutton stew without thought of such proceedings, destructive alike to physical and moral welfare. So they're, you know, I think they're rightly mocking them the way that a lot of radio stations or college students used to mock the concerned kind of conservative parts of the U.S. that were convinced listening to bands like Vanilla Fudge would be a one-way ticket to Satan worship.
Snagajob is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
This episode is brought to you by eBay Motors. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Noel, do you remember your favorite car?
Well, yeah. It was a an Eddie Bauer edition Ford Explorer.
Oh, that's and cool.
I just remember it was my dad's. I was a hand-me-down car kind of kid. Dad would buy a new car. I'd get that car. And I just remember feeling so awesome being up above everybody. Like I was in Mad Max or something, you know?
I had a lot of land yachts that I loved. I had Pontiac, Bonnevilles.
Right.
Oh, I never had an El Camino. My dad had one. And that was a real interesting use of our collective time, keeping that thing running. But I think these cars all kind of speak to us because they were such a fundamental part of our lives. Do you remember when I had that Monte Carlo?
That's what I meant. I said El Camino and I meant Monte Carlo.
I miss it. So the Monte Carlo was tough. I had a series of Monte Carlos, and the last one, God bless it, I had to learn a lot about car maintenance just to keep that guy running.
Totally.
But it still was like a perfect fit. It's almost like finding your true love. You know, like when you recently got a car a few years back now.
Oh, man. And funny you should say that. That particular perfect fit was the Honda Fit, which I love dearly. But, Ben, it's getting a little long in the tooth. And while it's been incredibly reliable up to now, it's getting to that age where I might have to start looking for some parts here and there to keep it running.
Mm-hmm. And that's where eBay Motors comes in. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly.
Brake kits, LED headlights, roof racks, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it.
And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back.
Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash.
So keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com.
Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hey, Noel, have you ever wanted to wake up to something better?
Oh, boy, have I ever, Ben.
Well, this is where Avalon Waterways comes in. How does waking up to a medieval castle, an ancient cathedral, a rolling vineyard, or a charming cobblestone village sound to you?
Well, here on Ridiculous History, that's right up our street, Ben, our charming cobblestone street. So I can say it sounds pretty good to me.
You're absolutely right, Noel. Avalon Waterways has redefined cruising in so many different ways. They've got the widest opening windows. They've got beds that face the passing scenery. So wherever you go, you have a front row seat to the views of the world. And not only do you wake up in the best staterooms in the entirety of the business, but you're waking up in a new port every day, right in the heart of these amazing historic cities.
Ah, Ben, sign me up. Open your eyes to a better view and a different kind of cruising. One with smaller ships, bigger experiences, fewer people, and more of everything.
Limited time special offers await at AvalonWaterways.com.
And let's not forget, too, that, I mean, you know, there certainly was like a temperance movement for women. They were not allowed or they were expected not to imbibe alcoholic beverages, but their male counterparts absolutely did. And that was sort of like, you know, there was this sense of, man, all we want is our tasty fudge treats. I mean, all the dudes are out there swilling whiskey and spirits and going hog wild in the streets. And we just want to, you know, roast an oyster over an open flame, you know, without fear of retribution from the brass. So, you know, I think it's a pretty reasonable request. And it was very much, you know, like something that led to this kind of rebellious attitude. There's a quote from an account from one of these college students, female college students, who said, "We did not at college, like some of the young men, drink whiskey or steal gates or shoot pistols at policemen or club baseball umpires." And this was from a student that attended Vassar in 1891. And that was their thing. They had their midnight kind of fudge parties. And why should they be deprived of that? There's a book called College Girls, Blue Stockings, Sex, Kittens, and Coeds, Then and Now by Lynn Perrell. And she sums it up like this: that breaking those dormitory lights out rules by meeting at midnight added an extra fillip of excitement and provided a way for well-bred college girls to flout authority.
Oh, that's one of my favorite uses of fillip. Okay, so they're using it to mean something that is a stimulus or a booster to an activity. Mm-hmm. But really, it comes from this. Look, it's oh, right, we're an audio podcast. People can't see it. That's a fillip when you flick your finger like that.
Oh, seriously? Like a little bloop? So it's sort of a dollop, a fillip, a dollop, a little extra dash.
Yeah, it's a little if you do that to someone in their direction, I'm sure most people think it's kind of offensive, right? It's not a serious offense. It's not the middle finger, but it's something. One of the questions here that we all have on our minds is what happened? Why is there no longer a fudge craze? Well, like so many college fads, the fudge fad reached a threshold of, I guess you would call it, inundation. The thing that was cool became so accepted, it was no longer cool. And now college students are saying, well, people are just associating the school I want to go to with fudge. One student in 1906 said, I once asked a man what he thought of particularly in connection with a girl's college. The answer, of course, was fudge. And that, you know, struck her the wrong way. The writer Lynn Perrell, you mentioned earlier, Noel, talks about how fudge sort of expanded beyond the dorm room, right?
Yeah, it's that thing we talked about, sort of how we associate fudge. We didn't know any of these sides of it, but definitely are aware of the idea of these storefronts lining various boardwalks, beachfront properties, or even places like Niagara Falls, Atlantic City. You know, you've got, I love this this quote from a piece that kind of sets the scene. From sidewalks outside candy shops, tourists would peer through plate glass windows in awe as mustachioed fudgeteers, there's the word, by the way, confidently combined vats of sugar, butter, and milk, then guided the mixture into oversized machines that noisily churned out delicious slabs of sticky goodness. And this is from a National Geographic article, actually, by Robert Reed.
Yeah. And there you have it. So the next time you see fudge, whether or not it's for you, it is a very rich food, a very dense form of sustenance. Give it some appreciation. It has an origin story that's pretty epic, actually, and I think fairly inspiring. And I want to note that for a long time, I think we've all had those discussions with our friends, like, what are some words people just don't like? Fudge is actually one of those words. It's still not as unpopular as moist, which remains, super weird to a lot of people. But I don't know. I was thinking like fudge, sludge, drudge, grudge.
Yeah.
Fudge itself has succeeded despite its weird etymology and its weird origin story. So I'm not a fudge fanatic myself, but after this, I really appreciate the story of it.
I appreciate it too. And I've got to say, we found a recipe in the research materials for this that I would very much like to try. It sounds like a step up fudge recipe that would really do it for me. Mamie Eisenhower, good old Ike's wife, was a massive fudge fan, and she made her own recipe called Mamie's Million Dollar Fudge, which Ike liked. And it included chopped nuts and marshmallow cream. So,
I'm not a marshmallow guy.
Not a marshmallow guy.
No, more marshmallows for you, man.
Okay,
you
know? I will eat all of Mamie's Million Dollar Fudge, and then get sick and potentially never want to eat fudge again. So it'll be like a fudge. Hey, I got a new one for you, Ben. A fudge purge. The
there
fudge
you
purge.
Mm-hmm. You'll be, there we go. Let's put that in the franchise. Also, Noel, watch out. Don't let your liver get overworked by fudge. Don't get bilious.
I would never.
This was a good episode. This was so full of some cool words. Casey, has any of this changed your opinion on fudge? Did you have an opinion on fudge beforehand?
He was pro fudge.
You were pro fudge.
Yeah, I was pro fudge. I'm still pro fudge, but I know more about it now than I did before. So there's that.
Oh, God. I probably should say this on air. But once I met a dude who called himself fudge, and it was one of those things where we were in our early 20s. And I was like, I'm probably not going to see this guy again. All right, that's fine. He wants to be called fudge. And 3 years later, I ran into him and he was like, my name is Richard. So fudge, if you're out there, why'd you give up the dream? Oh, so sorry.
And if you are out there, fudge, let us know what happened. Why'd you give up that baller nickname? We want to know. We want to hear from you. Fudge nickname or otherwise, you can reach out to us on all the usual social media spots, Ridiculous History on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook. We also have our Facebook group, The Ridiculous Historians, going strong. You can join that and get in on the conversation, the memery. It's a good, clean fun. You just have to like name me or Ben or Casey, or just say something that lets us know that you're not a Russian bot, and we'd love to have you in the group.
Yeah, and we always appreciate hearing from you. I gotta say, the Facebook page is on fire with some pretty good jokes recently, and we sure appreciate it. Let's see. We always need to thank Christopher Hasiotis. We always need to thank Eves Jeffcoat. I mean, talk about a dream team, right?
It's true. Thanks to Alex Williams, who composed our theme, our research associate extraordinaire, Gabe Luzier. I said it that way today because it made it rhyme with extraordinaire. What else we got? That's it.
Yeah.
May the fudge be with you.
Yes. Kalu Kalei, what a fudgeous day.
Love it. We'll see you next time, folks. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Ladies and gentlemen,
we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars for the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.